Okay, hello everyone. Welcome to Same Old Bumbles Series 2, Episode 11. Unfortunately, I appear to be the host because, well, we've lost one due to conflict of interest and we lost another due to COVID. So everything bad begins with a C so far at the moment. So tonight I'm joined by Niall Cooper and Alex Folkes, and we're going to be talking about, obviously, Wimbledon and the cool stuff that's happening. And I'm going to try, as other people are saying something sensible, remember some things about the Don's Trust board elections, the SGM, and all kinds of stuff that relates to things that are off the football pitch, because of course we are just as interested as what happens off the football pitch as what happens on the football pitch, which has been pretty exciting. So yeah, welcome to episode 11 of Same Old Bumbles. No one doubts the way you feel. Say we're all impressed the way the fans approach this test. The days have gone with football clubs live and fly just on fans' love. Davis isn't just a game, and tough decisions must be made. So I guess the first thing as the host is, were you, who was at the match on Saturday? Because obviously I wasn't, because I was having to babysit a teenage party. And so Niall was there. Oh, brilliant. So this is great. So the first bit of hosting for me,
I was sitting next to Alex.
I can just keep quiet. But now, before I go on to that, actually, because what was awesome about this weekend, I think, but you guys will tell me who was there, was that we had the ability to resell our tickets, which has not happened for any of us until this game, because it was only for like games that looked like they were going to be sold out. And normally we try and share our tickets around between people, but of course that wasn't happening. And myself, my dad and Evie, we put our tickets on late, like, dad did it early Friday, I did it late Friday. According to the system, they all sold. And we know other people that sat with us pressed some buttons as well, and they also sold. So I don't know, were there people sat in our seats or not? Because that would prove they were sold. But I've definitely got the refunds, they've been credited to the main account. So that's really cool. So were there people sat in our seats?
Yeah, there were people all around us. Can I tell whether they were ones who bought your tickets? I don't know. But yeah, it was pretty full. I think the refund thing is a good thing. You know, you're not going to get a fortune out of reselling your tickets. It's whatever it is, £2.68 or something, but it's worth having. And it's obviously good for the club because it's more bums on seats, more people buying stuff from the concessions, and hopefully people who are enthused by watching Wimbledon, and they're going to come along again in the future. Not 100% sure that the performance on Saturday is going to convert a lot of people. But, you know, it was good to see a pretty packed, pretty noisy stadium. I'll come on to a couple of other things about the football itself later, but yeah, it worked pretty well, I think.
I'm going to talk about football straight away because I feel like it. I thought we actually played quite well. I mean, do you know, I mean, we created enough chances. We were definitely the better team. And, you know, that it felt like this is a team that is really beginning to gel, that is really beginning to work well for us. And I think it's really promising. Obviously, we were missing two key players, and that, I don't think there's any doubt at all, that with our Hamady and Johnson in the back, we would have won the game. I'd be fairly confident about that. I honestly thought there was a lot of liveliness in the team. There was really good chances. You know, and it just looks like a good, solid team. Thinking of the last 3, 4, 5 seasons, this is a team that's entertaining to watch, that you can go and expect to see us win. Just, it's the Plough Lane curse. Do you know? I mean, like, seem brilliant away, get all those wins away, but then what the hell is happening? I mean, I love the ground. I love everything about it. It feels like we need to have an exorcist on the pitch to actually, like, make sure we can actually win a few games. That's where it's coming from.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy with that as an analysis. I'm not knocking the club as a whole at the moment, the team as a whole at the moment. We've only had two losses this season. Sadly, as you say, they've both been at home. We haven't exactly won a huge number at home. The team looked good. Reeves is the main man. Everything goes through him. He looked really good. Most of the team seems to gel. The fact we've got two young fullbacks works well. They both had a good enough game. The only two I think that didn't work quite so well were those two who were clearly in for the two missing players. So, I'm not 100% sure that Pearce is anything other than a replacement centre back. He's slow. He's a bit of a liability at times, but he also played really well at times as well. Davison still runs his arse off the whole time, puts in a lot of effort. Somebody said that his partner gave birth the night before, which would probably mean that he wouldn't have had a lot of sleep. So, fair play to him for playing at all. But he's not Ali Alhamady. He's not got the speed. He's not got some of that technique. So, when we get those two players back, I think we're going to be in a stronger position. And yeah, it's a good team. It's a team that has done really well to start the season. Are we going to get promoted? I don't think so. I think that's still a bit far-fetched, but we're doing really well, and we shouldn't knock it. It's just a slight shame that we couldn't quite convert that dominance into a win on Saturday.
I don't like the fact you're far-fetched, you know what I mean? I think we should just say, let's go for it. Let's live a little bit of a dream. Let's go into that mode. I'm kind of in a little bit of a tired state, so I'm going to just say, there's potential for us to do things here. So, I'm really optimistic for the first time in a long time when it comes to our club.
On Saturday, everybody, you included, were looking at the table going, if we win today, we could go top. And I'm thinking, well, it's far too early in the season to be looking at a table. I wanted to win on Saturday. Don't get me wrong. I want to win every game. And if we can be at the top of the table, so be it. But that's not the be all and end all at this stage. When we get to the last 10 games, that's when we start thinking, can we really get promotion? Can we really get into the playoffs? Who are we playing? Look at the matchups and all that sort of thing. And wanting certain other teams to lose. At the moment, there's only one team I want to lose, and that's well known. So, anybody can beat them. Other than that, I don't care who wins anything in our division apart from us.
That was the one bright spot as we left, realizing that Barrow scored twice in injury time to equalise. That was quite a nice, pleasant uplift after watching the game, to be honest.
Indeed, indeed. And there seems to be a managerial vacancy in Buckinghamshire. So, don't listeners, please, well, listener, please don't all rush for to apply for that job. Hopefully they'll continue in freefall. Actually, the probably the best news of the weekend came on Sunday when our wonderful ground tenants, London Broncos, won their game in France. Fairly magnificently. It's a shame it wasn't shown on any sort of TV that I can get. And so the London Broncos are in the Super League next year. Why does that matter? Because we get more money, because we get more people coming to Plough Lane, because we're going to get some actual teams, rugby league teams that people have heard of coming and visiting. I'll be going to a few games. I hope others will too. But it certainly means a bit more cash for our club, and that obviously is good news. And hopefully, people will see that first of all, rugby league's a good game, and secondly, that it doesn't actually negatively affect us as a
Oh, I think
club.
that's great. I mean, I know the deal. I think originally the deal was obviously they were hoping to get promoted sooner, and so now that that's happened, that's cool. I'll probably maybe try and get to a game, so long as you're there, Alex, to explain what's going on, and I can wince at every hit that seems to happen and scares the life out of me. But it's different. It's a different kind of thing, and it's kind of fun. So yeah, I was really that is really pleasing news for us because we have a cool stadium. We want it to be used. It's the whole 24/7 stadium thing they've talked about, and of course that's part and parcel of it. And we have had no issues with the pitch or anything, as really as far as I'm concerned, in doing that deal. So that has worked out. I think that has worked out really, really well for us. And I'm glad that when we were asked about that I certainly supported that thing when we had the vote about it. So yeah, it's good.
And when we're talking a bit, I mean, we're talking quarter of a million a year. So it's like significant up there for us, which probably moves us into towards the top seven, eight teams in League Two in terms of revenue. So that is quite a significant uplift for us. That's really good news. So I think that. As for whether rugby league is actually a sport worth watching, that's a completely different conversation. I'm a union person, always have been. It's basically a bunch of people running straight out a bunch of other and then stopping and getting then kicking the ball gently between their legs, and scrums aren't really worth it. So, you know, whatever. If you are an egg chaser, then league is definitely not the chaser to egg. So that's where I kind of go, you know.
I mean, I have no idea. I have no idea between any of those things. So, I mean,
I
whatever.
mean, look, Adam, I know it's about football podcast, right? But Union is a better game. That's it. End of, right?
We're doing this, and this is still hopefully this episode's going to come out this week. And obviously, we've just had the quarterfinals of the Rugby Union World Cup, which were four magnificent games and finished with the best game of Union I've seen in a long while. And I have to say that I think the best game of Union is better than the best game of rugby league. But to be honest with you, a bang average game of rugby league is better, I think, than the bang average game of Union. I'll watch both of them. I'll watch both of them very much because they are different sports. Stop trying to compare one with another. But you know, when it comes to football, if rugby league is bringing more money to AFC Wimbledon, then that's good for us and good for football. Thank you very much.
No, that's fair. I think that's right. I mean, there are different games, and games are different, and people like them for different reasons. So I'm going to side with Alex at this point. So in terms of the Saturday game, we knew Ali wasn't going to be there, right? And we have probably said on this podcast a few times that we are worried about what happens when he's not there, and we don't score, and we didn't score. And of course, there was the Tilly potential penalty. Which, again, on the notes I've got, is about a referee, or was it officiating from 20 yards away from whatever happened? I mean, I don't know what that's about, but I don't know how far away he really was and whether that was a penalty or not, because I've only seen it on the
20
thing.
yards is about 20 yards is about 3.5 marks.
No. Well, yeah, there we go. So a slight distance, a small distance, but of course, I mean, I'm sure you can, the referee's eye see
One
further
mark
than
is a big
that.
distance, to be fair.
But also, there's a linesman, right? So anyway,
Yeah, I mean,
I guess there's two points. It's like, what are we doing if Ali isn't scoring, and we know Tilly's done pretty well on the scoring front, but obviously didn't score, didn't get a penalty that day. What is going on with the shape then, that we can't function without Ali? Is it a shape thing? I don't know.
I think with Ali, the big thing is that he is a nuisance, right? And what I mean by that is that he's unpredictable. So you tend to get more players marking him, which creates space elsewhere. So I think what Ali does is actually free up Tilly to actually have more chances and opportunities. And Tilly, as we all now know, has got a shot on him and can actually, you know, do stuff. So I think that's what Ali does. I mean, the reason why Ali hasn't scored as many goals as Tilly is because Ali is causing the chaos. The issue without Ali is that we haven't got that person causing the chaos that frees up space up top end of the pitch. So that's where we kind of need a bit of a plan B, which is, I mean, I don't know what the plan B is. At the moment, it seems like we're trying to find Davidson doing, you know, doing whatever. It's like we haven't quite nailed that bit in the very final third that creates the chaos, that creates the chances. We had lots of shots, actually, to be fair. But it's just that like little bit of extra space that we seem to need for our forwards. You get the sense that Ali can score if he's got a little snapshot, whereas or caught chaos and people panic. But we just need that little bit of space extra up front. So I think we need that a bit more of a kind of person who can just shoot from anywhere, and just that sort of bit. That's the thing that I think we're missing.
I
I
thought
don't know
we were
what that, I
just.
don't know how we get that, but that for me feels like the little gap between the difference between us on Saturday without Ali and us with Ali.
I thought we were just a bit unlucky on Saturday. I don't think we completely dominated the game. I thought they were set up very well and they were just going to try and frustrate us. We didn't make that breakthrough, but we made quite a few chances. We have people who are willing to take shots. We don't have people, as Niall's just said, we don't have Ali who causes chaos. Instead, we've got Davison who runs all day. But he's he's sort of been found out a bit because they're not worried about him in the same way that they're worried about Ali. So yeah, we were unlucky and we put it down to not getting the penalty, maybe hitting the very inside of the post, as Niall pointed out. A very unlucky shot very early on when the goalkeeper kicked it out and Tilly was there and fired from miles out and just missed. A couple of other things could have gone our way. Mainly, I think, not giving away a silly goal. That was frustrating because otherwise our defence was all right. As I said before, I'm not the biggest fan of Pearce, but we were largely okay, just apart from one moment of madness. So if it had been nil-nil, I wouldn't have seen that as being an unfair result. I think we should have won, we could have won, but we just didn't on the day. So be it, move on. We've won all but we won more than we've lost this season. We've only lost two. Thank you very much. We go again.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. I think, and I mean, like I said, I've only seen the highlights and whatever, but it did look like a bit of an unfortunate goal in Bass, like slipped when he tried to sort of reposition himself, and that made it he wasn't able then to kind of move to make the save, which was disappointing. I don't know. I mean, I always think that we overwatered the pitch, but then what do I know? But was the pitch being watered before the game? Do we know? I've not
I
known.
have no idea.
No, okay.
We're normally too busy getting samosas or something. Apparently, they did have samosas. I'm just going to point out that I'm out now, not allowed to eat a load of rubbish food. So I get taunted at the football ground, and then they all sneaked off at half time and denied the fact they had samosas.
Can I
So
just
that's where I've got distracted.
I think Alex needs to clarify something there.
in the interest of fairness, the samosas are not rubbish food. They're absolutely gorgeous and lovely. They are high quality samosas. They may not be something that you're allowed to eat at the moment, and I fully understand that. But just because I don't want to see it get a legal threat, I really enjoyed them. I would encourage everybody to buy one and eat one. They are not rubbish food.
I meant rubbish, is it not necessarily good for me, right? That's the problem. I mean, like you got to know, it's really really unfair because I love Doshak, I love my pie, and I love the Argentinian steak. I love the duck wraps; they're all fantastic. And it's not fair because none of that. I mean, are any of those going to be good for you? It's not fair. You know what I mean? I'm
I'd
like
like to point out
being
to
taunted at Wimbledon.
Niall's family that Niall ate an Argentinian steak sandwich on Saturday, and Niall's now going to ask Adam to edit this bit out of the podcast.
I'm definitely not editing that out for sure because I don't expect anyone other than our one listener listening to the podcast, so we'll be fine. But no, hang on. So where are the samosas? Are that new? Have I just not been looking?
No, they are new. They were actually on the concourse, and whereas in the past we've always thought that things in what we shall call the food court behind the home stand, where the good food and stuff on the concourse was your archetypal
Oh yeah, no,
football
I did see it. I
rubbish.
did see it. Yes.
This was a little stand up by the gents' loos in the at the end of the concourse, not the prestige location maybe, but. Yeah, they were there. They had lamb, they had chicken, and they had vegetable samosas. I don't know if the vegetable ones were vegan, but yeah, all three. We had one of each.
I think it depends on whether they fried the outside in ghee oil or something, maybe. Yeah, that would be the thing. They have definitely been there before, and I wasn't hungry, so I wasn't thinking about them because it was half time. But I probably should have asked that question.
So you always think all you think about is where you can get your next pint.
Yeah, well, I'm mainly trying to queue at the robot bar because, that's the future. Robots are the future, and the future robot bar is good. So anyway, all right. So
Maybe that's what we're missing up front. We're
Hang
maybe
on.
missing a robot up front. That's probably it.
Well, I think he wants Chat GPT to take over this podcast in the future, but I don't think it could. I don't think that robots could quite replace the unpredictability, shall we call it, of this Same Old Wombles
No,
podcast.
definitely not. So another thing on.
I want to know what chat that is the question for next week. We have to do this definitely, is get ChatGPT to ask questions for us on the Same Old Wombles podcast. So that's it. Adam, your mission. What should ChatGPT be asking us? I want a bunch of questions and then we'll answer them. That's got to be good.
Seriously, it's not my mission because I'm on so many meetings that involve generative AI. It's insane. So I'm not doing that, and I don't care because.
It has to be said that it sounds like Mark's introductions, when Mark was doing the introductions, a lot of those sounded like they were written by a chatbot.
I wouldn't want to comment. I'm sure they weren't. So the other question was that I've got on some of the notes was about Sasu, like sort of playing through the middle. And again, I really like him, but I've not seen enough of him to really kind of know what the score was. How was it? What was he doing on Saturday, if
He
anything?
came on the wing. And then after another substitution, he went through the middle. He looked speedy, he looked good, but you come up with that few minutes left and you're either going to be a bit non-entity or you're going to make all the difference. And sadly, as with most late subs, he was a bit of a non-entity, but what he showed, he looked all right. Haven't seen a lot of him either, but I think he's, to be honest, I think he's better down the middle than he is on the wing.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. He didn't sparkle. There's no kind of like, he didn't go, oh, wow, he's doing amazing or anything like that. So there wasn't like, the thing at that stage, we were looking for something new and something different. And, it was worth the gamble, but it didn't really pay off.
Yeah, I think Ryan McClaine showed a bit more on Saturday when he came on for the cameo than Sasu did. That's not a knock on Sasu. He did all right, but McClaine looked a bit more sparkly than Sasu did.
No, fair. Okay, so on my next list is the Don's Trust elections. So I'm going to try and I've got some websites up to try and make sure I get this correct. Okay, and then maybe we can have a general discussion about why it's vital there's a contested election, which seems to be the main thing, I think, actually. So nominations are now open, and we are currently recording this on the 17th of October. They are open for the election of six members, which is getting quite a few. The vacancies, not vacations, the vacancies will be for 3 years for the top three candidates in the election, and 2 years for the candidates who come fourth, fifth, and sixth. So I think that's an extension of the time that members are on the board, or maybe that was the last time, I can't remember. You guys can correct me if I'm wrong. Elected members serve on the board for a fixed period of time. This year, there will be elections to choose a minimum of six members, and so they need to, everyone who wants to be in the running needs to ensure that they have completed their nomination forms in email format to elections@thedonstrust.org by the midnight on the well, 23:59 on the 28th of October. There is some guidance that everyone should read. There's some updated rules which I haven't read. There's a diagram explaining the Don's Trust, its board and functions. That maybe I should look at that. That would be quite interesting. So at the moment they opened on the 7th, they close on the 28th. All the manifestos go out to everyone on the 1st of November, and then the ballots happen 11th of November. And we've got like less than a month to make our decisions on that. What's the last thing? Any questions should be sent to elections@thedonstrust.org. And Matthew Breach has written this on behalf of the Election Steering Group. I don't know who is in that group. So I guess for us here, obviously, Alex knows a bunch of this stuff, obviously. Niall knows it inside and out. I know how to be unsuccessful in this process. But I think the main question is like, what's why would you know why should people go for it? What do we think? Should it be contested? What are the kind of things we think about, I guess, at this point when people, I guess, if anyone's listening to this podcast, there may be someone that, what kind of pro tips, top tips would you give them to want to be involved in this election process?
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking there's you've got to be a bit thick-skinned, the first bit. But I think ultimately it's about deciding the direction or that we want our club to take. And I think that's really important. And I think what it's probably the best thing to think about is what skill set can you give or help advise on within the club that we don't have already. So that's the bit that I think we need to be thinking about is what do you actually add to, what can you actually do? And that's the I think for me that's the fundamental key bit about what you when you stand, because you're a group of 11 people or 12 people or wherever it varies, sometimes has to 10. And it's like you've got to think that you're making collective decisions. So if you're going to propose something completely radical or completely different, then frankly it's not going to happen because you'll get outvoted. But if there are things that you can add to the board, then it's worthwhile going for. If there's extra skill sets or extra insights that you can do, that's the bit that I think we need to be pushing for. And I think you need to have a bit of pragmatism, and you need to be thinking a bit about like what makes Wimbledon different, what makes Wimbledon a club that is unique, and that's the thing that we really should be selling and doing as much as we can about. That's my kind of view. And so you do need that energy, you need that dynamism, you need to have a bit of a thick skin, and you need to be able to offer something new and exciting. And there's plenty of people out there. I think we need to remember that every single person who goes to the game has a skill set, and they probably have something to bring to the table. It's about making sure you've got the right level of commitment to do so, and you're willing to work with people. And I think that's the real key thing.
I think we go back to basics. I think we think about what is Wimbledon for. And AFC Wimbledon is about being fan-owned. It's about us, the supporters of the club, being able to decide the future of our club. And fair enough, there are people, some of whom may even be listening, who disagree with that as a mantra. They want some sugar daddy to come in and inject millions of pounds and us to buy our way into the championship, fail, and the sugar daddy waltzes off into the sunset. But that's fair, that's an alternative point of view. I don't agree with it, but so be it. But actually, what I think we are about is having that democratic voice. We've said it often in the past that if you don't like the way the club is being run, you don't like the direction of the club, then join the Don's Trust board. Well, first of all, join the Don's Trust and vote the way you want. Join the Don's Trust board if you can get elected, and put your point of view across. I disagree with Niall because I think there is a role for lone voices, for somebody to come along and put an alternative point of view that may not be the most popular. But you have to accept that if it gets voted down, then that's the will of the majority. And then be pragmatic and work with that majority to implement for the good of the Don's Trust and the good of the football club. The one thing I don't like is I don't like the fact that the terms are now 3 years, or at least some of the terms are now 3 years rather than two. And I know that Graham Stacey, Dubs, has put forward a motion to the SGM to seek to pull it back to 2 years. To be honest, it's a change that's only just happened. We'll have to see how it goes. I think that my argument has failed. But I do think that the number of people who have resigned mid-term in recent years indicates that we probably don't want to be extending the terms until we have a stable election-to-election cohort. I do think that we want to have that democracy. We want to have people being elected each year, maybe for a 2-year term, but elections every year, so that if something unpopular is being done by the Don's Trust board, then the members can vote them out. Or they can give their affirmation and support to what's happening. I think both of those options are important. So, with that small caveat, I hope that we have lots of candidates. I hope they put forward interesting points of view. And as Niall said, I hope they are going to bring something new, an extra expertise to the board. We need to have as many good people on there as possible, even if I disagree with some of the attitudes that they or ideas they put forward.
No, interesting. I think that makes, that generally makes sense to me in terms of like the terms and getting people, if people are doing something that's like inappropriate, we should have the ability to remove them as soon as possible and not have to worry that they are sort of there for 3 years, which, yeah, I hadn't thought about it in that way, so that's cool. The other interesting thing, and I'm going to say a couple of things just in this regard, which I think is sort of interesting, is that loads of the comms on the Don's Trust.org website, you know, starts with Don's Trust Board 2023 elections. The first line is, "We are proud to be fan owned and the ultimate decision makers and the people of the Don's Trust." So there's already, to some degree, a steer from the Don's Trust website and whatever about the kind of positioning they want. So I'm hoping that might kind of encourage everyone to think about that and have a less contentious sort of round. But obviously, yeah, we want people with different opinions. Of course, diversity, we know, makes every organisation way more interesting. And then the other thing, though, is on the website where it's like, so the new website is for the 2023 election is thedonstrust.org/2023-election, right? And so that's where you go to find the stuff. And the first thing it says is you need to read the guidance, you need to read the updated rules, you need to see the diagram. I have no idea how to find any of those things. They're not linked on those three bullet points, which is really annoying. So I would like, firstly, if anyone who's involved with updating the Don's Trust website, to just make those three bullet points linked to the guidance, the updated rules, and the diagram. It's not difficult.
Just on that, I would say email Matt Breach. Matt is now taken over the role that I used to have, which is chair of the election steering group. He's trying to spin a lot of plates at the moment. He's trying to run this election. He's got support, but he isn't necessarily the world's best expert in absolutely every aspect of it. He's really good, and I have full confidence in him. But if it's something technical like that, which sounds really logical, but just email Matt, and I'm sure he can get it sorted. But you know, it's rather than sit, I think in general the whole process of the election, and not saying you were doing this just now, but rather than carping from the sidelines, as a club to support it, and if there's something we see that isn't quite perfect, we need to point that out, and then if possible help them to get it right.
Fear not, that email has been half written already while you were saying that, so yeah, because I yeah, they may not, they probably don't listen to the podcast.
Everybody listens to this podcast, Adam.
Go on. I mean, Niall, is there any other, you've been on the proper coalface of all of it, right? And we know that that's been a pretty bumpy ride in different ways. And it's a different kind of election, etc. I'm not putting myself forward, as we've already discussed. I mean, is there anything you would think that you should, anything else you want to tell candidates who are up for it that should know and think about and,
I think there's one other thing I'd like to we really like to see, and that is our diversity of candidates. You know, it's been far too sad to see that the candidates putting themselves forward are largely white men, and we've got an issue at our club about dealing with sexism and dealing with actually making sure we're a properly inclusive club, because that's really where the club has got potential to grow. You know, if you look at our fan base on a Saturday, you know, it's what, 10% are women. How many people, how many ethnic minorities do you see on the terraces? And yet we live in one of the most diverse areas of London. That is clearly a massive gap in our ability to grow and our ability to reach out, you know, because it's not just about on the match day. You'd want the ground to be used 24/7. And if we're not seen as a destination point for women and for people of colour, then that's a problem. So I'd like to see, and that has to come from within. So I'd like to see a board that had, out of those six candidates, that we were electing three or four of them that were either women or people of colour. Because at the moment, we are a board that represents the 30 to 50-year-old white male section of society, which is nowhere near representative enough. So I'd really want to see them coming on board. And I think that as a club, we'd need to show a massive amount of support and enthusiasm to help them, because there's unfortunately there is a minority of people within our club that will persecute those. And I've heard the stories numerous times, and we need to be moving forward, and we need to be putting some of those things behind us. And that's really what I'd love to see. You know, I really would love to see some of those. And there are great people in our club. But if we want to grow, then we need to be representative of that at all levels. And that means our board as well.
I agree completely. I think that we need to have a more representative board. I actually disagree slightly with what Niall said, because I think our fan base is increasingly, although it's still predominantly white and male, I think that we are increasing the number of women, increasing the number of people of colour coming, and our supporter base is more representative than our board, our Duns Trust board. So, yeah, we desperately need to see as many candidates as possible, full stop. But certainly we need to see some candidates from groups which are currently not represented on that board.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, I'm totally obviously going to agree with all of that. That makes total sense. So the next kind of things I've got listed in my thing was like rough, long northern trips away, and also is watching on iFollow still rubbish. Contrast the other bit. No, contrast to ITV coverage for the Bradford game.
Right. Okay. I never watch iFollow. The only time I ever watch iFollow is if I'm with a bunch of other Dons fans who, for one reason, I can't get to the game. That's the only time I'd ever watch iFollow. And I know that I'm speaking to an iFollow lover in yourself, Adam, and there are other people that on who come on board. I mean, you use it. You go on.
I use it when I have to, because I want to see the games, but I don't like it because I don't like watching football on TV, full stop, which I have made quite clear. I hate watching football on TV. And I had, yes, I had iFollow this weekend on, but I couldn't really watch it. And I don't know why I wasted my money, because I clearly wasn't watching it, because it was the international one. So I didn't even need to deploy my trick of being outside of the UK on a VPN, which is completely legal, as I've already explained in other podcasts. But I mean, I...
Of course, Adam, you would never do that, would you? You would never do that or endorse that or encourage people to do that, because it is a legal thing to do.
No, it's not illegal. Using a VPN is not illegal. You're allowed to use a VPN. That is completely legal. And I happen to use one that puts me in another country. And Alex is telling me to stop talking about it because he's worried. And I'm just, and I pay. I'm still putting the money in the club.
Money isn't going to the club. Is that what you're
saying? No, it is. No, that, no. Okay, let's close this one right down. I pay the €11, which is what anyone would pay in Europe, and that money does go to the club. I would never watch a Wimbledon game through a service where I wasn't contributing through the appropriate means. So I do, and that's the only reason I do it, because there is a contribution. So if you're on holiday and you happen to be able to watch the game and you pay €11, you are putting the money into the club. So I'm actually bunging more money in than I should.
Fair. Fair.
Does everybody else, all our listeners, think that he does protest too much?
No, I'm speaking about the reality of the legal system of what a VPN is about and what you're allowed to do.
He's supporting our club directly rather than putting huge amounts of money into the train system. And
if they run,
you know, the fact he got £2.38 back again for his season ticket, he's still net contributing to the club. Anyway, I quite like iFollow. Am I weird? You know, it for me, it works okay. I've had to reload one game once, and other than that, it worked okay.
No, it works. It works well. I think you're right. It does work. It does work well. It's one camera angle. You know, there's biased commentary, all that kind of jazz, but it does work, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it's meant to be. I get a bit hacked off that the commentators don't have screens and don't have iFollow on in front of them, so they can't watch the replay. So when we on the screen get a replay that's showing that something blatantly happened and they just don't know because they only saw it once with their eyes,
Or the eye follow cameras on the other side of the stadium. So they're going, well yeah. We were saying left and you mean right. And I was like, for goodness sake.
That's, you know, we've had commentary and we've had occasional video and so on from CCL days. So, you know, we're used to it. It's that last remaining bit of amateurism. And I quite like it. And that's not a knock at Rob and Mikey.
No.
I like the fact that we've done it since CCL days and we still do it. It's like having Philo on the PA. It's something that is part of our heritage, if we can talk about heritage being since AFC Wimbledon was reformed. Anyway, I quite like iFollow. It's not a professional setup like the TV company coming in. Of course not. But we're not Man United. We're not on TV every single week. So we can't have that. There. Next.
So the next bit is like the away games. Like, so we've got Barrow away, Accrington Stanley at home on the midweek, which I'm going to make, which is great. And then there's a bit of a conversation about a bit of a stretch squad. I mean, we seem to have had a load of games played. I don't know about a stretch squad. I don't think we've got a very big squad. So I think we're stretched 24/7 anyway. But what do you think of those next couple of games? Barrow away and Accrington Stanley at home.
Barrow away will be a really interesting one. I mean, because obviously our away form has been particularly interesting, but obviously they're boosted by their two late goals against Buckinghamshire Town. And therefore, you know, we'll see whether that brings anything in. I mean, you know, I think we've got a fair chance. And then Accrington at home, you know, we're a good team. We're playing all right. And we're having, you know, having our players back could be, you know, could be really significant for those two games. I mean, I hate to say that it's the difference between this season and last is massive. And like, I can look at that saying that's potentially 6 points. And I wouldn't have been thinking like that at all last season. I'd be thinking Barrow might scrape a draw if we're lucky. And Accrington Stanley is a game that we'll probably end up with a draw and being like, how the hell do we only get, you know, and that would just be, you know, we could have got 2 points or one last season. Whereas now I can actually kind of feel that we've got a chance.
No, I think that's. I don't know exactly, but Barrow away, we're obviously doing fantastic away. We're first in terms of the away performance, and a home game under the lights on a Tuesday night when it's going to, you know, we're going to need to use the lights now that the winter's drawing, could be a different type of plough lane. In that,
I mean,
sense.
It's also Oktoberfest, isn't it? So they'll have all the kind of. The sausages and the music and all that sort of stuff. That should be.
Oh, I didn't realise it was. Yeah, I didn't realise that. Oh, brilliant! No, that's even better for me.
All the German beers and stuff like that. You'll be there for that, Adam.
Okay, that's made my week already.
But it's half term, and some people can be away for half term type shenanigans. So you know, we might lose a few for that. You know, Accrington, lovely club, lovely owner. Shame that. They don't have a lot of support, certainly a lot of support that travels. So I don't think the resale is going to be on offer for that one. Look, I think the point of the programme, though, which Mark so helpfully provided for us, was to think about these really long away games. And Barrow is presumably about the furthest we can go. But, yeah, they're fun if you want to make the trip. It's an adventure. It's not like going to the Midlands or East Anglia or something like that. It's not something that you can do very easily and get back the same day. If you're going to go to Barrow, you're going to either make a weekend of it or you're not going to get back until 3 a.m. on Sunday morning. I don't think the coach appeals to me. So, you know, these long trips are a part of what makes football football. If you think about it, back in the old days, you had Division 3 North and Division 3 South, and you didn't make these long trips at our level. But I think they are interesting. Am I going to make the trip to Barrow? No, I'm going to be away. I'm going to be rowing in Devon instead, but I'm going to be watching the game as much as I can. I won't be using a VPN. But I'm going to be following as much as I can to find out what's going on, because I think that our away form is so good at the moment that any result is possible. And I wouldn't have been saying that last year or the year before. I would have been grimly hoping for holding on to a nil-nil. Whereas this time, I'm absolutely confident that we could win if we're good enough on the day.
I think you're right. I think you're right, actually. With all those games, we now, it does feel different, doesn't it? We could actually win some games, whereas before it was like, oh my word, we're not going to win any games. So, okay, there we go. Now, obviously, we're not going to have a quiz, right? Because we've decided that isn't going to happen, and we're not going to have a quiz because I'd have to actually, all of us would have to actually remember any, yeah. We'd have to remember players and we'd have to know stuff. And we don't have anyone who can do any of that stuff.
I love that. It's the one moment where I try and look vaguely intelligent because I happen to know some of our players from the CCL and Roman League games. It's only because like, I was basically quite actively involved in the club at those points and I kind of vaguely remember it. Don't remember anything from like after that. Tell me about, you know, that was my one bit. That was my one highlight. And basically, Alex has taken it away from me because Alex wasn't there for that particular period. Not fair. Alex talked about CCL, but not the CCL. Not fair.
I was there for CCL, but I wasn't there for much of the Ryman. And, you know, as soon as 78 wins happened,
Richard
I was
Butler.
There.
Well, look, we've got the list. We can run this quiz at another point in the future. We've got a list of people that will make up our five-a-side in the future from the Ryman Stroke Conference, but we're going to do it when we have more people who can have a more educated guess as to what might be their most appropriate winning team. I quite like the list as well because I did actually remember a few. But we're not going to do it this week because it would be unfair. And there we go. So, Niall, do not fear. We will come back to the list, but we'll do it when we have more guests who are happy to have, yeah, to basically make it more of a competition. Otherwise, what's the point? We're just randomly saying names.
I think next week we need to have as a guest a Ryman League player.
Well, you can figure that out because I can't, obviously.
Who would be the Ryman League player of choice that we could try and get on the pod? Maybe, yeah, I don't know. He could live his conference, wasn't he, really? But, you know, we can try and do that. Try and find a Ryman League player to come on the pod. So, our listener, if you're out there, nominate on the chat when we put it up on X. Tell us which Ryman League player we should get on the podcast to discuss the Ryman League five-a-side Wimbledon ideal team. It's got to be. We've got to have somebody on there that can help us.
Can we have one that, you know, we don't have to call Her Majesty's Prison Service to get them on?
That could be quite difficult. I tell you, to be honest, the one we probably should get is Dave Anderson.
I don't remember him playing a lot, but, you know.
No, he didn't play a lot, but he would have picked them.
We might have to deploy the bleep quite a bit. But, you know, it's a really good call, really good shout, yeah.
We're not getting anyone that requires lots of deployments of the bleep because I don't want to do any editing, which is what is going to happen for this episode. There will be next to no editing, so we can make sure that it's out early in the week. But I'm not even going to say. Right. The point of our podcast is to be out early on the week because no one else is out early in the week, which is fantastic. I am going to say thank you to Alex and Niall for doing this week's Same Old Wombles. We will be back, in theory, in a week's time, with some quizzes and who knows whatever rambles we decide, with whoever knows what guests we manage to get together. So, yeah, thank you all for listening. And, of course, in the old traditional format, if you don't know where to catch us, you can follow us on Apple, Spotify, all those kind of things. And if you've happened to got this far and you don't know how to follow us, that is completely mistaken. But yeah, you can also follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter, where we don't really post anything. So yeah, thank you everyone for listening. That has been Same Old Wombles.